Good morning.
Good morning. It is 4 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. You are tuned to KBOO. That's your very own community radio station. And this is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn. And that was Van the Man Morrison. Turn on your radios. Turn up your radios this morning because it's another membership drive show for Positively Revolting.
It is that. And we are so glad that you were able to join us. Oh, dear listener. We have a really fabulous show lined up. We do indeed. We do indeed. And this is a show that we are focusing on some positives, some good stuff going on in the community. We are talking about the Village Building Convergence. And this is an annual celebration in this area, around this region. It's sort of expanding and we'll talk more about that as we get into the topic. But it is an exciting time. It's always an exciting time of year. And we are so thankful to have with us Hannah Poyer and Mark Lakeman, who are going to talk with us about that event and what it really means to this area. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, you guys.
Nice. All right. So this is, to me, the Village Building Convergence is a fabulous, a wonderful time of year wherein we get to actually come together. It's sort of like one part party, one part tangible skill building, hands-on, some very exciting skills to learn about building with natural materials and that sort of thing. Community knitting together, community building and bonding, and one part sort of conference, you know, as we share ideas about how we can remake our world starting in our own backyards. And so it's this very multifaceted event that this is its 12th year. Is that right?
Yeah, this is the 12th cycle.
Excellent. So, Mark, why don't we start with you? If you could give an overview, thinking that there are probably some new listeners who have not participated in a Village Building Convergence or maybe don't even know that it exists. Can you give the brief overview of what VBC is?
Yeah. Let's start with a biological metaphor here. You could kind of think of it sort of like the way a sea anemone sort of expands and contracts, or like a jellyfish perhaps. It goes in and out and in and out. The VBC is intending and has successfully achieved the citywide scale at this point. And during the day, like sort of an expansion, everybody's out in neighborhoods, 40 neighborhoods, all at the same time doing things that are permanently changing their environment, their place. And not just physically, but it's engaging people. They've been working since really November and then especially since February to meet and deliberate and basically, you know, find out who lives in their neighborhood. What do they love to do? What are their passions? What are their skills? What are their visions? And then kind of coalescing the whole time. And we're encouraging them, don't think about money. Don't think about budgets. Just keep getting excited. Because what we're trying to do is to get all the other freaking forms of capital that exist in the universe to start flowing other than money. Because if you start off going, oh, well, we only have $500 million, there's not really a whole lot you can do with that, actually, in terms of all the things that need to happen in the world. So we encourage people to just sort of talk and dream and connect and care. And we're training them at the same time. Every week, all these different communities have representatives that come to a meeting that Hannah has been coordinating the whole time. And people are learning about permaculture and organization and outreach and coordination and facilitation and, you know, basically just really getting strong and strong. And then they go back and they impart that to their community and they're training them too. So during
truly
the day,
converging.
Yeah, truly.
Truly.
Yeah. And not just conferencing. We're not just talking, but we're just acting all over. So during the day of the VBC, for 10 days, people expand out into the neighborhood. It's all decentralized all over the city. And then at night, it contracts and it comes back to a central venue. And that's the first day. The second day, again, it expands and then it contracts in the evening. Each day it goes out stronger and it becomes stronger. And each night it comes back stronger and stronger until, you know, at the end people want it to just continue. But I think for those of us who are into social justice and we have a historical mind about this, you can sort of look at it as if, oh, wow, what you guys are doing, is you're actually being villagers again. Like you're remembering that your villages were sundered and you were conquered and your, you know, your vision and your destiny was disrupted by people who, like Mitt Romney, for instance, who want you to work for them all the time and exploit you. Instead, you're kind of seizing back your destiny as a community and you're saying, aha, we will transpose our village patterns once again upon this confusing and dystopic reality and assert our inherent humanity once again and create places of gathering and stuff that reflects who we are and, you know, go into a different future.
Well, let's going into a different future sounds like a fabulous idea, and making that future together sounds pretty good to me, too. And Hannah's part of this. You are in the sort of point person, coordinating person for placemaking. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So let's talk to the listeners, if you could tell folks about what placemaking is exactly. That's not a phrase we're used to hearing.
What's that about? Placemaking is kind of a term that we sort of made up, but you can kind of infer the meaning from it in that we are making places, and it's distinguished from space because there's a lot of spaces around for which that people don't have any kind of ownership over, mm-hmm. or any history with, or memories or attachment to the way that it has been designed or been implemented, completely away from their control, even though it's where they live. And so placemaking is the process of investing value and meaning into places that people can care about together, and they co-create to reflect the values that they hold in common with each other right in the place where they are.
So it's sort of a way of getting people to notice. I always think of it as that as well. There's a part of it that is bringing attention and awareness, mm-hmm. To where you are, where you exist. So that I think a lot of issue that we have in our current culture is that people don't really take the time to notice where they are. They're not connected to it in any kind of way. That that one block looks a whole lot like another block, mm-hmm. and that everyone sort of goes inside and stays safe in their fenced and appointed cubicles, whether that be our houses, our condos, our apartments, whatever it is, and they don't necessarily take the time to have a place where they can gather. It's not even taking the time. There's just not a place where you can conveniently go out and talk to your neighbors. So mm-hmm. placemaking.
Well, also in Portland, there's so many people who are new to town, and they're in neighborhoods with people maybe who've been around for, that's in my neighborhood. There's less and less folks who've been around for a long time, unfortunately. And so is this sort of a way to help that meld and get these people to know each other as well?
Certainly, and we even see that with projects that are already existing for which there has been some turnover in the neighborhood. For example, at the Sunnyside Piazza on Southeast 33rd and Yamhill, there's been almost all of the original people that were involved in that intersection project are gone from that neighborhood. But this year there's been an incredible resurgence of gathering around creating that place again to be something that the neighbors can be proud of and collaborate on. And that's just one example of many for which these projects are holding a history that the people in the neighborhood can really feel connected with.
That attrition factor is quite quite normal for the United States, where most people move between 4 and 7 years. So attrition is a function of a lot of different dynamics. People keep searching for their own personal promised land, kind of trying to climb a ladder, perhaps, and get more income to go to a place that they perceive might be more prestigious. Perhaps, I don't know exactly what the reasoning is, but I'm going to get me a bigger house.
Afford this big house.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, especially lately. So we've been watching this over time, and some communities, well, pretty much this work has an impact that gels community, and then people, like, they know each other and they've made relationships, and then they immediately all start noticing that this attrition is happening, where before it was an individual experience and we didn't even know who was around us, so we wouldn't even know who was moving and who was staying. So it's great, very educational, but then people start to see, oh my God, this is what's happening, and that's another step toward trying to be able to, you know, address it or do something about it.
Awareness is key when you're wanting to actually work on an issue.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about actually recreating our communities and physically recreating our communities to meet our human needs, then then that becomes, I think, even a larger issue, you know, when we have to be aware of what we want and of what we have before we can redesign it. So also, just to let you know, you can write in with your questions or comments to our Gmail account, and that is positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. I would say you can check us out on Facebook, except Facebook seems to be having an issue.
Thank you. Is that not just
me? It's not just you. No, Facebook seems to be down this morning. I don't know how the world can continue today, but
they sold all the stock off. You know, they got the money. They're out of town.
However it happened before Facebook existed, you can still connect with us. And that also includes
the calling Twitters us. Are working.
That also includes calling us at 503-231-8187 with your question or comment this morning about village building convergence and about really, I think the most exciting part of this is an opportunity to really focus on remaking our culture, remaking our neighborhoods, remaking our world, starting in our own backyard. Because I think a lot of people get kind of overwhelmed. It's like, okay, we know what we're against. We know we are sick of a world that wastes so much, that doesn't treat each other with humanity, that doesn't pay any attention to where our food is sourced, that world that we live in, we know that there's a lot of dire wrongs with it. But then we get to the point of, what do we want to make? How do we want to be? Like, where do we want to go with this? And a lot of people start coming up blank. And this is a story I've told before, but I think it bears repeating, that years ago now, Melody Silverwolf, who I used to co-host this program with, and I were invited to do a little ritual for an opening season for the Red Rose School, which used to be a free school here in town. And we were excited to be able to do that. And we had a little two-part ritual. One was to banish what we wanted to banish. And the second part was to bring in what we wanted to bring in, because nature abhors a vacuum, right? You banish, you got to invoke. So we went around the circle the first time, and everyone in the room had like one thing, maybe three things. Everyone was calling out everything they wanted to get rid of, you know, exploitation, capitalism, racism, alienation. We want to get rid of all that stuff. All right, cool. What do we want? One out of every three people had a vision to offer, and the other two would say, smile and pass. And that spoke to me really loudly. And I have talked to people since then about really trying to focus on what you want, because we all know what's wrong. But when we get to what's right, what we want to go for, a lot of us lack those creative visions. It all seems overwhelming. Well, I don't know. Where do you even start? You know, well, why not start in your own backyard? Why not start with the here and now and where you're at? And that is really why I get very excited about projects like the Village Building Convergence. And I got to say, it's really nothing like the Village Building Convergence. That's why I get really excited about it, and a few other things as well. So with that in mind, starting in your own backyard, how do people really, when a person says, yeah, I want to do something here. This area could use a place. How does that process even start?
Okay, I want to answer that. But first, I just want to say, when you said there wasn't anything like the Village Building Convergence, I think that's true in terms of its model. But now there are Village Building Convergences all around the country. I mean, for instance, Olympia does one now.
Yeah.
Minneapolis is about to pop with an amazingly creative one. So they've happened in many different cities. There's one apparently in Vermont.
I was going to say East Coast, right? Vermont, I heard.
Vermont's going, Asheville.
They always copy us.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, we got to copy them too. But yeah, Vermont apparently is doing something that's just, this person's like, you've got to go there. Like, you think Portland's cool. I'm like, what? So a little bit of competition is good, I suppose. So
it encourages us to strive ever greater.
Like the whole
greater, right?
London versus Portland naked bike ride competition. Like, we can be more naked than you. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, how does it start? Well, you know, back in the mid-90s when city repair was getting started, we did initiate a few things. And it's true that we broke the law a couple of times in a row, because it was like, oh, okay, so it's not legal to have a community meeting house where you don't have to subscribe to some empire religion. Oh, okay, let's build one. And apparently, you know, that's a birthright, so we'll certainly not ask permission. And then with the intersection project that we did, it was the same gig. It was like, oh, there's no village crossroads. Apparently we have to put that in. But since that time, we've basically just been taking calls for help. And that's really how things are started these days. We put out an RFP in, you know, request for proposals in November. And it's kind of set up, you know, sort of looks sort of official. And I think people think, oh gosh, I hope we'll get in. The truth is, secretly, everyone gets in. So, you know, some years we'll get 40, some years we'll get 60 proposals, and then it'll kind of, you know, through whatever attrition and, you know, people will discover like, boy, this is more work than we thought or something. It'll winnow down a bit. But this year it's winnowed down to 41 projects.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And you know what? I keep waiting for someone to just come and say, okay, we want to do world peace during this VBC. Can we do that? Because you know what the truth is? We've never not accomplished it. Like somebody came in and said, yeah, we want to build a cob oven and a gathering place made out of a not even legal material yet in the South Park blocks in 3 months. And we're like, okay, that one might be not going to happen. And it totally freaking happened. Like so many examples of situations that were seemingly impossible all happened. So someone needs to come forward and say, let's do world peace this time, okay, during VBC? Because I have a feeling, you know, once you set your mind to organizing around something, it tends to happen in this project. Hannah, do you want to say more? You can say way more than me.
Well, I kind of want to come back to what you were saying about noticing and just being aware. And I think we tend to talk, especially in the activist culture, a lot about changing the world and saving the world. And there is an old sort of city repair saying that says that we need to do a little bit less on focusing on saving the world and focus a little bit more on savoring the world. And placemaking is kind of about that, too, because the point of it is that you're enhancing the place where you live, but you're not creating something out of it that was totally vacuous. Like, there is an absence of place. There's an absence of meaning and memory and culture. That's true. But there isn't an absence of all things. There's never an absence of love, and there's never an absence of potential. And when we're talking about permaculture, the first principle is always observe. And so with these projects, it's the same idea, to come together to observe what the relationship is, the socio-ecology between the people that live there, and then to recognize what is possible already just from what is already there. And I think that's a different approach to activism, because we talk a lot about how we would like to see the world different instead of talking about what is already beautiful in the world that we have. Because the world that we have is really beautiful.
It really is, in so many ways. And to notice it and to accentuate those things, accentuate the positive. I've heard that somewhere.
Right.
You know, that I think that makes a really important point, Hannah.
Yeah. But it's not excluding the necessity to be doing things, but it's taking a more grounded approach in what has to be done, because it's not going to do any good to put a garden in a shady spot, you know, if you're trying to grow annual vegetables, just because you're excited about gardening and you know it needs to happen. You know, what does that shady spot want to be, and what is its value for the community? Same with all of these placemaking projects. Where's the most logical place to have a gathering space? Where's the most intuitive place to have a gathering space? And how do those things intermesh with the skills and energies that neighborhood already holds?
When you're talking about what does that shady spot want?
Right.
I mean, I love that line of thinking, but really that's sort of at root of permaculture,
mm-hmm.
right? And would you like to talk about permaculture and what that is and how that also plays a part of VBC?
Sure.
Okay. go right ahead.
Well, for most people are sort of starting to become familiar with permaculture, but basically it breaks down originally to permanent agriculture, and then we kind of realized that you can't have permanent agriculture, a way to sustainably farm and have a relationship with food, without having a permanent culture, something that was coming out of understanding that we need to have a healthier relationship with the way that we organize ourselves in relation to everything, not just the way that we're farming food. And so permaculture has... there's all kinds of innovations that come out of it that people are using all over the world. And the nice thing about it is, At its core, permaculture is just recognizing patterns in nature. It's taking everything that's billions of years in evolution and noticing what works and how nature works, and then applying it to any kind of situation. So people are getting into social permaculture, permaculture that has to do with the built environment, education, gardening and farming, all of these different domains. And I think that's really important, because it's not that permaculture has this curriculum. It's not like there's one way to talk about it. It's that it's more of a language set, and learning those pattern languages so that they can be applied to any realm and then taken into what you care about and what's relevant for your life and how it can be applied to what you're doing and what's necessary for your community.
And so in the very simplest of terms, when you gave the example of what does that shady place want to be?
Right.
There's the sort of dominator idea and paradigm that, well, we want that place to be a garden. And so we're going to do what we have to do to make that place a garden. And if that means we're going to add a whole bunch of crap to the soil, and we're going to have unsuccessful crops, and we're going to get really frustrated, and we're going to work twice as hard.
Or cut down the trees.
And we're going to get rid of anything that provides shade to that area. We're going to just clear cut this corner of our yard.
Well, you know, and those trees obscure the view.
Yeah, they must you know. Go. So it's instead actually finding the character of the place and working with it. And again, it gets back to observing place and seeing where you are and how places and you interrelate with each other. And I love that. But to return our attentions once more to the tangible village building convergence that is happening. It starts. Let's go ahead and give some tangible facts about when it starts. Next week is the opening days, right? Is that correct? Village Building Convergence runs from when to when this year?
May 25th through June 3rd.
And what happens those days? How can people get involved? So maybe somebody's hearing about this for the first time. Maybe they've heard about it in previous years, but they haven't had the time to really jump in and squish cob or make benches or build chicken coops or recycling stations or paint intersections or any of a thousand other things that have happened. So how does somebody do that for the first time, Hannah?
Well, May 25th through June 3rd sounds like a large chunk of time, but you can come to half a day out of any of those times, and you can participate in the whole thing, or you can go to just one site. During the daytime is when all of the stuff all over the city at the 40 different neighborhood projects is happening. So during the day, you get to engage with the neighborhoods that are near you or the ones that most interest you. And then in the evening, we all converge at a central venue, which is at 2800 Southeast Harrison at St. David's of Wales. And there's programming for really inspiring and progressive speakers from all over the country and within our own city that are just doing amazing work in the world. And Mark could speak to that a little bit.
Also, the website.
Yeah. Website is cityrepair.org/VBC. And that'll take you straight to the page that'll
And it's a very snappy, really clear, easy to use. I've been playing with it this morning website that gives you, there's nothing complicated or mysterious about it.
Oh, good. Well, that's nice to hear.
Okay. And we just put up the official event guide up for the Village Building Convergence last night. So you can look through the schedules for all the different sites and for each evening event and decide which you would be interested in going to.
It's a very lovely newsprint-based magazine if you get a hard copy of it. And
yeah,
Hannah, where can people get hard copies?
St. David's of Wales, and probably in other locations. We'll get it on Thursday.
Yeah, probably coffee houses
the
around.
The Builder Guide, it's called.
Yeah, Village Builder.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go through the schedule a little bit. It's kind of crazy how many wonderful people are going to be here. The first evening is going to be an extravaganza. The opening evening usually is pretty big. The headliner is Yanto Evans, who's the founder of the natural building movement in North America, especially Cobb. And he'll be there, and we have a whole bunch of different people that are sort of lined up to open for him, including Placecraft, which is this dynamic new sort of Justice League of Natural Building superheroes that are mostly really young and dynamic and actually quite sexy. And that they're taking on the fact that we've just legalized straw clay insulation as a legal form of insulating a house. And so they're passionate about getting people to be motivated around doing that. So that's Friday, May 25th. And the whole rest of the schedule has to do with really not no longer just passive observation and then sort of people downloading inspiring stuff, but we have a lot more sort of hands-on learning, even in the evening, and then movement-oriented people. The body ecologist and dancing teacher, Nala Walla, will be there speaking about a lot of the things that she's been learning in her work around the world, and then we'll clear the chairs and people will be doing sort of some of the most brain-cracking, heart-opening group movement stuff that you could imagine, and that's on Saturday night. Sunday is a Skillshare, a community Skillshare, where all kinds of different things will be happening. People are coming, teachers are coming from all over the continent, actually, to lead communities in basically building community through having fun and learning things and discovering and also design practices, but kind of all together, and also breakout rooms and stuff. And this will be stunning for those of us who like to not just learn, but take stuff to share with others. This will be quite an education. Nancy Clem from Chicago will be on Monday, and she is a soil builder. She's a sort of water catchment guru and also gray water guru, and she installs systems all over the country, and she'll be there. Starhawk will be there on Tuesday, along with Jerry Williams, who a lot of people really love from Portland. Starhawk will be leading us once again in a spiral dance, and a lot of people are spiral dance junkies, and we're looking forward to seeing everyone who comes. Yeah, let's get together. Karen Heary from Portland's astounding swap shop in the Sunnyside neighborhood will be there to tell us about all of the just amazing. She's setting a world record for most amazing project ever, right in the Sunnyside neighborhood. Unbelievable work, transforming that neighborhood. I was up there yesterday watching them at the Sunnyside Piazza, like rebuilding their solar-powered, recirculating downspout-fed public fountain, and people were walking around. Yeah, I'll see you later, Steve. I'm gonna take my kids up to the swap shop. Okay, everyone was walking everywhere and talking to each other and tearing up their grass, and it was beautiful. The next night, Thursday, is permaculture, like earthquake night. Permaculturists from all over the region will be in Portland. They're all going to be coming to the venue, and some of the great superheroes of permaculture movement will be on stage to talk, including Brad Lancaster from Arizona, which is big news. Really, really like moving and shaking all over the Middle East, helping people to do dry land water catchment in the desert. Friday night, Transforming Urban Spaces, Oliver Kellhammer, one of the great teachers from Canada, will be coming to Portland. And then the last evening is Village Design, and this is going to be led by Mark Tobin and myself, and we'll be taking people through a lot of sort of movement-oriented exercises, and there'll be presentations from eco-villages all over the world, including Findhorn, will be represented there. So we'll have a lot of village focus at the main stage, and then we'll break out into separate rooms, and people will be able to self-select and go where they want and learn whatever they want. And that night, I believe, either Friday or Saturday night, actually, John Young, who's the founder of the Nature Awareness School, will be coming up from California, and that's huge news, too. He's an amazing, inspiring leader on an international scale. So an amazing schedule. People should go online, cityrepair.org/VBC, and see everything that's going on.
And many of those speakers are also doing workshops at the neighborhood sites. And many speakers that aren't on that list are also doing workshops at neighborhood sites. So plenty going on during the day that's educational and working with these leaders from all over.
Awesome. And so, again, it's like there are places during the day people can get together and work on these projects. Doesn't even have to be in your own neighborhood. You can find the project that speaks to your heart. You can find the skills that you want to, you know. So finding out, and again, people can find out which projects are happening where. How, Hannah?
At vbc.cityrepair.org.
Excellent. And so you can plug in that way. And then every night at St. David's of Wales, which doesn't have an H in it, just for the heck of it.
It should have an H. I know. Come on.
No, it's the other kind of whales. My people, my people. So there's a gathering, and as you've just heard Mark talk about, with so many focuses on each and every evening, slightly different thing. And I got to say, as somebody who has gone for quite a while, the gathering, the days, they're all different. Every day is different. And it's all pretty fabulous. It's all pretty wonderful, truly. So, yeah.
I wanted to say there's some unusual things happening this year which are notable. First of all, it's doubled in scale at the same time as the infusions of social capital have brought the budget down. So we're now operating compared to just a few years ago, which was incredible, at sort of like 3,000% more efficient in a crazy way. So that's amazing. But suddenly Southwest Portland seems to be waking up. Every now and then, every year or so, we'd have one project. Uh-huh. This year there are six.
Nice.
And they're not at the usual suspects like Tryon Farm. They're like in the neighborhood fabric, and they're working with the bureaus of the city to do these things. So the bureaus, they've been partnering with us for a long time, but now they're partnering in Southwest. That's pretty huge. But then, I don't know how many intersection repair projects are happening, but we've been looking forward to the year when they would pop all over the city, and this is the year. We must have 15 intersections.
I saw the map. Yeah, you can see the map on the website. It's wild.
It's out of this world. So, yeah, the diversity of projects, they're all over the fabric of the city, working with schools, working with intentional businesses, and intentional businesses are helping all of the projects. All the projects are reaching out for support all over their community. So the networking is vast. It's just really astounding.
I wanted to give Mark and Hannah just a minute, literally,
literally,
for our last words. How do people get involved? How do people find the VBC this year?
VBC.cityrepair.org.
Say it one more time.
VBC.cityrepair.org, or you can email us at VBC@cityrepair.org.
Or just come to 2800 Southeast Harrison next Friday night, May 25th, for the beginning of the VBC, and you'll be able to see the central village of the city happening there for 10 days and just throw in and become a part of it. Make many new friends.
Woo-hoo. Wonderful. I hope to see many people there. And thank you all for being positively revolting.
Thank you so much. Thank you.